And that rainbow of love is perfectly expressed in the topic that you and I have been dealing with on Wednesday night in the devotional. That is the topic of giving. The rainbow of love, the best expression of that, is in regards to the fact that if you go back to Genesis 6 through 9, that's where the reference of the rainbow begins. God made a covenant with the earth. Now, there was an Adamic covenant in the Garden of Eden. There was an Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12. Now, the Adamic covenant was one of peace with man. Then there was the seed of woman. And then there was the seed of Abraham and that covenant. And that brought about a blessing to humanity. But in between the covenant that he made with Adam and the covenant that he made with Abraham, there is the historical reference of the destruction of the entire earth. A global catastrophe known as the flood. And after that, God made this rainbow as a sign of that covenant that he made, a signal of his love, that he would never destroy the earth after that fashion again. But I want you to think about the greater sign of his love. It's not a rainbow, but is a cross. You know, normally when we think of the cross, we think of a, you know, somebody that wears a tattoo and they got a cross on their arm, or I've even seen it on their head and things such as that. But or they have a shirt that has a cross on it, or they wear a little trinket around and it's gold and shiny, and they always look so pretty. I've never seen anybody wear an electric chair. You know, the other day I sat down and watched a documentary about J.P. Morgan, and J.P. Morgan was one of the big backers of Edison, and Edison, during this time of AC and DC, most of us probably don't even know what we're talking about, with regards to electricity and why there was such a controversy over it. Who cares? Back then it was a big thing. And so Edison, in order to try to get the upper hand with DC, he was a DC guy, and Tesla was an AC guy, and so, Tesla was backed by Westinghouse. Y'all know those names, right? And, Edison was backed by, J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan must have been an extremely ruthless individual. But it's interesting. Edison was fairly, cutthroat himself, because he agreed to build the very first electrical execution chair only if they would use Tesla's AC and not his DC. He didn't want anything to do with it. Well, I don't know if you know anything about the first electrical execution in the United States, but it was not pretty. But Tesla and AC did not get the bad press out of it. Edison did, because he built the thing. And you know, it's interesting when you think about the controversy that rages in the hearts of men and how we would even treat one another in regards to these things. Here are two emblems of society, J.P. Morgan, Westinghouse, and they will destroy one another for a power plant in Niagara Falls, you see. And so God destroyed the world, but he gave a covenant, a sign. He wanted humanity to know of his love, of his generosity. That is the reason why Noah even had an ark. So why do we then talk about giving in relationship to that? I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Last week at this time, we talked about the great principle of giving. And the great principle of giving is that I must first give myself Anything else that is asked of me after that is easy to handle if I've given my all to the cause. See, baptism becomes really easy if I'm asked to put on Christ in baptism, because now it's not about water and it's not about how water affects that salvation or how it comes in contact with the blood of Christ. Now it's about a simple compliance to the will of God. Whatever God asks me to do, I'm going to do that. Now, yes, it is in the water that we contact the blood. But if God asks me to do something, that's what I'm going to do. And so the first principle is that I must give myself. But the second principle I want you to notice here goes back even to the rainbow of love. It goes back to the covenant and the seal of that covenant and how our covenant is sealed with blood and how the sign of that will always be the cross of Golgotha. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 through 15, and I just want to look at a couple of verses here, verses 8 and 9 in particular, I want you to notice what he says here. He says, I speak not by command. Now the giving here he's talking about is the giving to help poor saints in Jerusalem. There was a famine in the land. He's not talking about the weekly contribution. That is commanded, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. But here he says, I'm not even talking about commandment. There's something greater than command, by the way. I don't know if we realize this, but example is much more powerful than even command. See, I can tell my children to do something, and if I never show them, if I never participate in it myself, you be kind to your sister. You be kind to your brother. You be kind to people. And I am a obnoxious grouch. Do you think they're going to listen to the command or the example? They're going to listen to the example. So notice what he does here. He says, this is not by command. So he says, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others. He says, to prove the sincerity of your love. Now think about this. He's just referenced the Macedonians, right? We studied about that last week. They are the example. And so here's an example of them first giving themselves and giving even above and beyond what they were capable. It's almost as if the Apostle Paul was embarrassed to take any more money from them because they were giving well beyond their means. Because they first gave themselves. But then notice, he gives a greater example here in verse number 9. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be made rich. The greatest example we could ever find in Scripture of giving is John 3:16, is Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. It's the giving of Jesus Christ. He was willing to be brutalized on our behalf so that we might be blessed spiritually. And so, we need to evaluate the motive of why I give. What is the purest motive of giving? Is it not love? Is it not a genuine care and concern that I will even sacrifice for things that I love? See, if it's worth something, then it's worth doing well. And that is the example we have of Jesus Christ. And so here in just two verses, the Apostle Paul uses two great examples of the Macedonians and of Jesus Christ. And he says, if you want to learn about giving, then learn from the Macedonians and learn from Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus gave it all. That there was nothing left in him. He died on that cross. He gave everything that he could give. He left heaven, it says here. He became poor so that you and I might become rich. What a great example of giving that sets for us. And by the way, I want to remind you, this month we're not talking just about what measures up on that tote board. We're talking about time. We're talking about energy and effort. We're talking about when things need to be done in the work of the church. Am I a willing participant? Am I willing to sacrifice and to give? Am I willing to become poor that rich might be found in the Lord's church? You see, that's the greatest principle of giving that we could have. And so here in this verse, I want to encourage you to be a good giver. No, I want to encourage you to be a sacrificial giver. Giving of your time and your energy and your effort to help people come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ in this community. I want you to pause and stop even when you're trying to do something and somebody is out there and they're lost and they're in a dying world. I want you to think about them as not just somebody traveling on the same street that you're traveling on. They're a lost soul. They're headed to hell. Damnation. A lake of fire. That's what awaits them. Now, will I sacrifice a little time, a little energy to help that person understand the gospel of Jesus Christ? My brother is in need. They have some work that needs to be done. Am I willing to step up? Oh, listen, there are a thousand excuses I could come up with, right? I'm not really a carpenter. I don't do manual labor. I'm too busy. I've got too many irons in the fire. 1,000 excuses I could come up with. I don't know anything about that. But am I willing to aid and assist my brother in something that he needs? It's not about what kind of knowledge I have or what type of expertise I have. It's, am I willing to stand by my brother in his hour of need? That's really what it's about. That's a gift that this tote board will never be able to calculate, my friends. And in fact, most of us will not even know of the great deeds that are done by the majority of people that surround us all week long. But here's what I know. God knows these things. And God says in Revelation chapter 12 that our works will follow us. There's going to be a blessing in heaven that's based upon the works that I do, the sacrifices, the giving that I do of my time, my effort. And so I want to encourage you tonight to be a good giver. Now listen, if you're outside of Christ tonight, there's no gift that you can give that would be any valuable or any value to you in eternity. None whatsoever. You may bless somebody here, but when the judgment day comes, it will just be here. I want to help you tonight to be able to lift that gift that you've just given to somebody to an eternal value. A value that goes beyond the grave. And it's the only value that can be found in Christ Jesus. So if you're here tonight and you know about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, you're willing tonight to repent of all of your past sins, make that glorious confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then we will take and baptize you in water for the remission of your sins. God will add you to His church, take away all your sins, and He will sanctify you, set you apart for His glorification. And that can only happen in Christ. Now, if you're a child of God and you've gone back into the world, my friends, the Bible is clear on this. As a dog would throw out his vomit and return to lick it up. That's your deeds right now before God. You don't want that to follow you in the judgment. If you're a child of God and you want to be renewed in your faith, why not make that happen tonight? The Bible is as clear on the second law of pardon as it is on the first. That if a man will repent and pray to God, Acts 8 and 22, and confess his sins, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, God is faithful and he will forgive us. I want to be forgiven by God. And if that takes a public confession, then that's what it takes. If it takes a private confession, as we stand and sing, let's make sure that we make that before God tonight.